Are you ready to get in the Word? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to go verses 7 through 21. We're getting here close to Christmas, as you can see around you. And some of my challenge was, I want to draw our attention to what is the reasons that Jesus came. And there's many things that we could dig into. When we look at the festivities of the holiday season, it's easy to get wrapped up in. You know, maybe you're thinking right now, you've got a card out of the mailbox and you're thinking, oh, I got to get home and get some Christmas cards out for everybody else. Or you're thinking, oh, I got to get to the store. We got to get things going. Got gifts to buy. And so things can get hectic, don't they? And maybe like some, as we talked about Pastor Mike, we're struggling with those that have gone on before, and they're not going to be there, and how's Christmas going to be different, and how's it going to feel different? So many things that twirl around in our heads, and that as we continue to think about the Christmas season, my job, I feel, is to draw us back to the Word. And that's my goal for the next couple Sundays, that it draws us back to the Word of why is it that Jesus came? Well, first of all, that Jesus is God's gift of love. And when we see that, I'm not going to go straight to the Gospels yet. I want to start in 1 John here. And I want to remind you why the first epistle of John was written. John was writing to new believers. And he was trying to strengthen them in their new faith. They've come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and they followed Him. But they begin to have questions of, how do I really know that I'm a child of God? How do I know that I have a genuine faith? How do I know that it's real? And that's a question I think we all should be asking ourselves. Because sometimes we use platitudes, we use phrases, and we use religious talk to try to convince ourselves we have a relationship with God. Many of the Pharisees and the scribes that walked on the earth the same time that Jesus did claimed many things to know the Father and to know the Word, but yet when it come to Jesus, they rejected Him. And Jesus was very plain and clear, and He says, look, if you rejected Me, you've rejected the Father. Well, they were upset about that. They were disgusted by that. In fact, He goes on so far as to say, when you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. Well, that just pushed them over the edge. They didn't want to accept Jesus. And so herein lies the problem, is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are a triune Godhead. They are three, but yet they are one God. Perfectly joined, perfectly in purpose, perfect in holiness, perfect in character. They are one. And when you reject one, you've rejected the other. And so these are truths that Jesus is trying to teach them and reveal, that if you rejected Me, you've rejected God. You can't have one without the other. They're inseparable. Why? Because they're God. And so when we look at these things, we look at the purpose and the importance of Jesus coming, it gives us the very foundation of our theology. It gives us the very foundation of why we believe that we are the children of God. It gives us the foundation of knowing that I truly have a faith, I have trusted in God, and He's working in me. So in the first epistle of John, he goes through the entire book. It's small somewhat in size, but he goes through all five chapters giving and laying out for us exactly what would be happening within us if we are truly a believer in Christ. And so we land here in chapter 4, and we land upon the love of God, knowing God through love. Is the depths of what we're going to dig into today. So not only are we going to be examining why God sent His Son, but we're going to be examining what it does to us. What is the effect that it should have upon us? So if you'll go with me in John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. As we look in scriptures today, we find that there in verse 11, he reminds us, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live in him. He has given us life. He has given us opportunity to understand who God is. When Jesus came, he bridged the gap, if you will, between heaven and earth. He came to represent Christ as a representation of God the Father, but also was the perfect image of God the Father. Right here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, he reminds us is that who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We see that when Jesus came, he was the stamped image that's kind of representing, as you would see, a coin that has a face and a figure upon it in the representative of that leader or whoever it may be. And we see that Jesus is the stamped image, the exact image of the Father. So when you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. When you hear from Jesus, you've heard from God the Father. When you're loved by Jesus, you're loved by God the Father. And the Spirit is involved in all of this, in the workings in and through us and through the believers that have followed the Lord Jesus. So we see all of this at the very beginning of the reason of Jesus coming to the earth in the form of a baby in a manger was because God loved us. Now, when I say loved, it was a past tense that motivated the plan of salvation, that motivated the plan of redemption. But it is ongoing today. His love continues. And because of that, we have reason to rejoice. That is where we find the joy in this time of the season. And the first point that I have for you today is that this gift of love will change us. When we seen right there in verse 7 through 11, it begins to point to us directly in that verse 10. He says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now that big fancy word propitiation simply means that Jesus came to be the atoning sacrifice. Because of our sin, we understand that because of sin, it started with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that was created perfect. It was created without sin. Adam and Eve was created without sin, but yet God gave them a choice whether to obey or disobey. He didn't force them. He didn't grind them. He didn't make them do what they were supposed to do. He said, it's your choice. You make the decision. And so by them choosing to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it was out of rebellion and rejection of God. And so because of that sin was handed down to all mankind. And now throughout time, that has continued, and we that are born in the flesh of the same seed of Adam where it all started, We have inherited that sinful nature, but we have participated in that sinful nature. So therefore, we stand guilty before God. And unfortunately, the scripture reveals to us, for the wages of sin is death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. Meaning separated from God forever and ever. When we die, we leave this body. The soul is separated from the body. That's death. But then the soul returns to God. And if they do not know the Lord Jesus, and they have not been forgiven of their sin, the soul is separated from God for all eternity. And that is what we're looking to escape, right? That's exactly what we don't want to happen. And so we're looking for God to deliver us. And that's exactly why Jesus came, to deliver us. Amen? And he did so because he loved us. You know, we would think that is that we've already rejected him. We've already turned on him. We've already made mistakes. But he's compassionate, and he's kind, and he's loving, and he offers his love. So when we see that he says, look, as he is the propitiation for our sins, we need someone to pay for our sin debt. Because we can't. The only way that we can pay for our sin debt is through death. But that's not good for us, right? That's not a good end. But Jesus says, I'll come and I'll die in their place. So that word propitiation means he is the atoning sacrifice. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that God, to be a just God, he must punish sin. So it puts us in a dilemma, doesn't it? God loves us, but he's just, and he must punish sin. So first of all, we might think that, well, you know, does he have to punish my sin? It's not that bad. Well, the problem is that if we allow our sin, then we allow all sin, right? What about those who have killed millions of innocent people? What about those that have raped and killed and plundered and claimed so many innocent lives? What about all of those things of people that steal and take things that don't belong to them, and sometimes in massive amounts? We want justice, right? We want good to prevail. Yes, we do. And so therefore, God must punish sin. So how do we escape this? He sent Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice. That atoning sacrifice took the very wrath of God. When Jesus hung on the cross, he didn't just die a physical death. He suffered spiritually. He suffered in every way. The most brutal, the most gruesome death that could ever have been imagined by mankind. But then also God the Father turned his back on his own son. You know why? Because our sins were upon him. He bore our sin. He bore our shame. He bore it all for us. And so he satisfied the very wrath of God upon our sin. That's a heartbreaking reality, isn't it? But can I lighten that with just a little bit? He did it because he loves you. And we see the depths and the value of that, that when we receive the Lord Jesus into our hearts, that love follows into our lives. It becomes a part of us, not just something that we hold on to and that we enjoy, but it changes us and teaches us to love the way that he has loved us. We begin to look at others differently. We begin to deal with others differently. We begin to have a love for one another. In verse 11, he said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We begin to look at each other and think that, well, it's difficult to love them. It's difficult to get along with them. But then we look at ourselves and God reminds us that we are not as easy to get along with either, right? It's like, oh man, we just can't get away from it, can we? But thank the Lord that he was patient. Thank the Lord that he's patient with me because he's still working and loving and showing kindness. So why wouldn't I show that to others? Why wouldn't I give that to others? I didn't deserve it. We can always say that, well, they don't deserve it. Well, we don't deserve it either, amen? We don't deserve all that God has given us, but I'm thankful he did. I'm so thankful he did. I want to love him more. I want to be at a place that I can be pleasing to him and not discouraging him. But I got to grow. How about you? We just need to grow. So what does it look like? Well, we put away selfishness. We put away discriminations. We put away prejudices. We put away neglect and abuse and criticizing. We put away backbiting and gossip and hate. And we put away murder. But what do we do instead? We love in patience and kindness. We put away arrogance and pride. We don't demand our own way, but we look for others to have what they need. We're not irritable. We don't keep records of wrongdoing. We don't rejoice when there's injustices done, but we rejoice when truth wins. We never give up. We never lose faith. We always have hope. And we endure through every circumstance. I just took you through 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13, verse 4 through 7. We do these things because Jesus has put that love within us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. He says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." Do you see that as we grow in this love toward one another, he's establishing our hearts as blameless in holiness before the Lord. Do you see that loving your brothers and sisters in Christ and loving those around you is a holy exercise to become more like Christ? And in becoming more like Christ, we begin to lead holy and righteous lives. It's a reality that as we follow him, the love that he has changes us, sometimes when we don't even realize it. Doing the things that we may regret the most, or we drudge the most, or we fuss about the most, but yet he's guiding us, he's shaping us into what he wants us to be. He gives us appointed in that love is God's very nature. We love because we're born of God. And if you know God, you know love. If you don't know love, you don't know God. Why is that so pointed? Why is that so exact? Because it tells us that God is the source of all love. Do you realize that? Sometimes we look around in the world, we look in other people, we look in other situations and think, I want to be loved, but yet they're not capable of giving you what you need. Only God can. He's the only perfect source of love. He's the only consistent source of love. He's the only pure source of love. Many times we're loved by others conditionally, based upon what we give back. Maybe we love others based upon what they give us. That's a reflection of our human nature. But God says, I love you unconditionally. It doesn't mean that he's going to ignore our sin. He's not going to turn our back on our sin, because sin is what drags us away from the love of God, right? And so he wants that out of the way so he can love us unconditionally. Do you realize that Jesus, as he walked upon the earth, we learned what love truly is. Many were amazed of all that he would do. Many were amazed at what he accomplished. But you know, when we realize that God is the source of all love, that he is the first one to love, and that all love comes from him, we realize that the lies of the world today, that they say that God hates us and wants to judge us, they don't know who God is. God is the one that says, I would rather have mercy. God says, I come so that all might be saved. God says that I want to love, not put away. You know, many people say that God is so judgmental and his word is judgmental. The reality is God is the only one that loves you. God's the only one. You know why? Because there's only two powers in this world today, God or Satan. And Satan wants to deceive you and convince you that, oh, he's going to take care of you. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Think about what that's saying. It was at the time that he was describing, he was talking about the shepherds. You know, the shepherds, they lay at the door, they lay at the gate. They would round up the sheep at night and they put them in a corral. It's sometimes a natural, like a cave, or sometimes they would build somewhat of an enclosure. And the only place that was open that you could get in would be the opening at the very front called the gate. And so at night, the shepherd would lay across that door so that nothing could get to the sheep. And he would lay there and he would sleep there so nothing could get to him. The only way to get to them is through that door. They were safe as long as the shepherd was there. And Jesus says, you're all familiar with this. You raise sheep. You know this. You've done this. I am the door. I am the one protecting. I'm the one that's watching over you. And I do it well. He does it well. But he said, but there's one that wants to get in. There's one that wants to get in. The devil, he wants to get in. He wants to sneak in around the back. He wants to try to find a way in. But I've closed you in. I'm protecting you. He wants to get in and kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to rip your faith apart. He wants to rip your life apart. You know, folks, there comes a time and place that we finally get tired of just watching the destruction and the pain. And we finally come to the one that truly loves us and say, God, I need your help. And sometimes I just wonder, for the sake of each one, how long are you going to run? How long are you going to wait before you truly come to know the love that God has for you? He's the only one that loves you. No one else can love you like God loves you. No one can take care of you like He can and will. The world wants to use us for their own selfish desires. But you know, God still loves us today. He still loves us today. Even after Jesus was crucified on the cross and God the Father had to turn His back on His own Son because of the sin that Jesus bore for us. You know, some would think that, well, God is... you know, He's hypocritical. No, He wasn't. No, He wasn't. He spared no expense. Jesus was the only one that could come and bear that sin burden. Jesus was the only one that could take it and pay for it, because He Himself was the only one that came to the earth and is sinless. He's the only one that could go and die for all of us. No one else could. And you think that, well, maybe God just put a part of sin. Nope, He put it all on Him. In fact, right here in the first epistle of John, chapter 2, that he came, He's a propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So do you see that when people try to think that, well, God, I've done too much, He doesn't love me. My friend, He does, because He already sent His Son to pay for your sin, all sin that you have and all that you will ever have. He's already paid for it. Now, isn't that love? He's taken care of it all. All He's waiting is for us to receive that. Now, here's something I want to impress upon your hearts, is that God talks about His love here in John 3, 16 through 18. We have to see something here for just a moment. He gives His love to those who have received the Lord Jesus. Do you understand that? When we don't know Jesus, we're living outside of His love. And so sometimes people are trying to understand the cross. They're trying to understand God. They're trying to understand His law. They're trying to understand, well, what's sin? What's good and what's bad? And they're trying to understand all this from the outside, not knowing and understanding the love that God has for them. And they think it's brutality. They think it's beating upon them. It's condemning them. Our sin is what condemns us, not God. God has laid out the red carpet, if you will. He has made it possible for any and all to be saved. If we stand before God on the day of judgment and we have to say, I'm lost and I didn't know it, and He says, you have to go to hell, it's not God's choice. It was based upon your choice upon the earth, whether you accepted or rejected Jesus. No one will enter into heaven without them making that choice themselves. That's heavy. But that's what the Scripture reveals to us. Let me read to you. The first verse you probably know by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I thought God was condemning us. I thought Jesus was coming to point out all the bad things that we did. He's pointing out the sin to draw us back to Himself. But look, in verse 18, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. As we contemplate, when God has sent His Son, He sent His Son in such a way that Jesus would come and be able to relate to His own creation. Never a God had ever done this. Never a God that loved his creation enough to actually put himself into a body that would go in such a way that he could speak the words that they understand, to use teaching that they could comprehend, to use methods of love and compassion and healing and helping that would draw them to him. Many people in the day of Jesus said, "How is it that we hear such words of wisdom? There's never been a man that has spoke like Jesus." With him, he took the power of heaven everywhere he went. He took the glories of heaven everywhere he went. But there's one reality, is that the world was already condemned, and Jesus came to save any and all who will trust in him. That's the promise that you have today. That's the promise of his love. But yet, if you do not receive it, then all you can do is talk about his love. But when you receive the Lord Jesus, when you enter into salvation, you acknowledge the sin that you have in your life, but acknowledge that Jesus is able and willing to forgive you of that sin. Put it all behind you. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Right here and now today, just put it all behind you. At that moment of salvation, the Scripture reveals that the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. And with it comes the love of Christ. He empowers us. He strengthens us. And he gives us hope. That was the rest of my message. We covered point one. Come back next week and you'll see the security, the strength, the hope that comes with this love. But folks, if we haven't received Jesus, it's all just a theory, isn't it? No life change, no heart change, no realities of a hope for eternity. That can be yours today.